Year 12 students, most of them wrap up their final exams this month. So a new generation of job seekers will be hoping to enter the workforce for many. It won't be easy though. Youth unemployment has almost doubled since the global financial crisis. Five people applying for every advertised job. A new report released today from the Centre for Independent Studies lays the blame for those horrible statistics squarely at the feet of Australia's relatively high minimum wage. The Centre for Independent Studies is calling on the government to vary minimum wages across different regions to take into account the diversity of living standards and unemployment rates. The author of the report is Dr. Patrick Cavallo. He's speaking with our business editor, Cheryl Bagwell.
Patrick Cavallo, welcome to RN Breakfast.
Good morning, Cheryl.
Now, your report recommends minimum wage discounts for certain regions in Australia. Can you explain how that would work and how it would help youth joblessness?
Yes, my report confirms the rising problem of youth unemployment in Australia, with jobless rates nearly doubling since the GFC. More than a quarter million young Australians are currently unemployed. So my report recommends local discounts to our national minimum wage system. This is a key policy recommendation endorsed by the OECD. I know this is a hotly debated topic in Australia. However, we need to recognize that minimum pay levels in Sydney and Perth are simply not affordable in high jobless areas across the nation.
Yet we already have a system of wage discounting based on age. I mean, a 16-year-old part-time shop assistant, for example, gets around $9.50 an hour. That's a significant discount on the, $17 an hour an adult would get? I mean, would you see those rates discounted even further?
No, I'm not really concerned with the youth, with the junior pay rates, but they finish at when at the age of 20 years old. And we have to understand that the most of the problem now that we have, the people that not in employment and nor education, the so-called NEETs, are the early 20s, from 21 to 24. And those are not embraced by the junior pay rates that you mentioned. And when I talk about minimum wage, I don't mention just minimum wage, the national minimum wage. I also refer to our more than award rates, and including penalty rates, and these are the key problems. So let's figure, for example, in the hospitality sector.
Sorry to interrupt there, but so clearly you're talking about sort of young people, 20 years of age or 21 years of age, what getting the adult pay rate at the moment. And the report also seems to recommend fixed period discounts for those who are deemed long-term unemployed. I'm just wondering how you guard against exploitation here. I mean, it does leave people at that age rate kind of open to exploitation, wouldn't you say?
No, not exactly. I'm not saying that we should be allowing any wage for early 20s. I'm just saying that the current pay rates that we have at the moment are very high. For example, a 21-year-old that has no year 12 attainment and hasn't completed high school, and let's say that it's been in unemployment for more than a year, so it's considered a long-term unemployed. This person, if he wants to get a job on a Sunday morning, for example, in a cafe shop, he would get $40 an hour. So most Australians know that $40 an hour, it's a very high pay, especially for someone with such a low skill level and lack of work experience. We need to understand that there is a very clear sign that a bigger pay gap between a young person and a more experienced worker is required. Wage should be proportional to someone's skills levels and work experience.
Yet, I mean, as you mentioned, I mean, there is significant disagreement among academics about the link between youth unemployment and wage rates. I mean, if you look at the United States, where the federal minimum wage is just, $7.25 an hour, youth unemployment is also running at close to double the adult rate. Now, if there was a link between the two, wouldn't we see that gap in the United States much narrower?
Yeah, I agree with you that there is much debate on the academia about minimum wage levels and job creation impact. But these are mainly for incremental changes in the minimum wages. So when you talk about large increase in minimum wages, such as the case of Australia, for example, at $40, or in public hollers, it urges them to $52 an hour for an entry-level position on a restaurant for a young worker of 21 years old, that's a, such a high level that there is no reason to believe that this wouldn't have any impact on job creation. And that's the point. The fact is that for incremental changes, yes, it's very hard to measure any impact on employment. But for large increases, which is the case in Australia, it does. There's no debate about that. It's patent that it has an impact, a negative impact on job creation.
Could there be other reasons, though, why young people are having so much trouble getting these entry-level jobs at the GFC? I mean, your report does talk about other reasons, you know, the lack of experience of young people. More young people are kind of concentrated in the part-time casual ranks, which makes them easier to be put off in times of downturn. And also, I mean, what about the role of, new technology and automation? I mean, they're eliminating a lot of the low-skilled jobs since the GFC that young people would take.
Yes, I totally agree with you. My report is not about just cutting minimum wages. This is part of a program to lift the employment of youth in Australia. So my research shows that growing the economy is the most effective way to reduce youth unemployment. So we are talking here about tax reforms, about competitive markets, about a system that has a federalism pact that it works in Australia. So there are a lot of things that we need to do to improve, to lift our economic growth and then create jobs. But as part of this growth agenda, the minimum wage is a component. But overall, my report says that presents evidence that economic growth, education, fit for purpose, smart regulation, and targeted welfare assistance are keys to reverse rising youth unemployment.
We'll have to leave it there. Thanks very much for your time.
Thank you.
Dr. Patrick Cavallo, Research Fellow into the Economics Program at the Centre for Independent Studies, speaking with our business editor, Cheryl Bagwell. That report is being released today, the report on youth unemployment in Australia, and we'll put a link to it on our website.